Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Walking on the Sidewalk, Horizon Oracle Journeys. I am your host, Psychic Medium Kevin Baird, and I want to thank you for being here on this night tonight. It's August the 12th, 2013, and tonight's show is about things that work with the part of our life that we're so done with. Let's say, for example, that we have this machine or mechanism that makes, let's go with some old school fondue. Now, back in the 60s and the 70s, and I'm over 50, so I have permission to talk about that, there was this sort of cooker that had sterno, and sterno is this, like, cup of petroleum that you can burn inside of your house. Any other kind of petroleum that you burn in your house could end up being, you know, noxious and poisonous and could end up putting you in the hospital, but the sterno heaters are safe. And how they used to use these sterno heaters is that they would put them under this big decorative pot of cheese, and then your host of the party would prepare niblets, little nibbler things, either chunks of ham or beef or cheese or bread or croutons or something that you could skewer with a two-pronged fork that had like a long stem and then with a wooden handle at the end of it, and that you could submerge it into the little cheese cooker thing, and then you could end up eating it, the thing that you submerged into the warm cheese bath that was maintained by the sterno fire that was running underneath of it. Well, the thing is like once the night was over with and everybody went home, you had like half a pan of cheese left. So do you pour it down the drain and stop up the drain after the cheese sort of cools and hardens? Or do you pour it into the trash? And that's such a waste also. Or do you put it in some kind of Tupperware container and put it in your, you know, refrigerator, someplace to keep it in cold storage for the next time you use it, but God knows when your next party is going to be. You really want to just throw the whole thing out, and why do you have a fondue cooker anyway? So those things were really hip, quote unquote, back in the day, but then they wore out their welcome. They were great, they were fun, they were wonderful. That we continue to consume because that's how we know ourselves as consuming this thing, as a routine that makes our day be as perfect as it can be, and how others know us when we tell the stories about how we start our day, or when we start a process, a project, that we sort of have a ritual element, process, mechanism that we have, do, or facilitate to help us begin with a positive and light air, you know, where we can feel strong and confident that the energy that we will devote into the situation will result in positive results, and that we'll see a product from our efforts that will have value, because we all know that we want everything that we do to have the absolute value, and that everything that we do is perfect and the outcomes are perfect, but not always. So the empty card is basically saying, empty it out. Be empty of this thing. Empty out the rest. Be done with it. You don't need to use it anymore. It can be cigarettes. It can be cheese. It can be peanut butter and jelly. And then we all go through those phases in our lives to where we're just obsessed about peanut butter, or we're obsessed about pate or caviar or cheese or the Starbucks double latte or a companionship, a relationship, an intimacy that is turning out really to be something that's the same old thing over and over again. So I'm going to draw our first card that I'm going to talk about here, working with the empty card, 441. And the first card that comes up for us here is the between card, associated with the time 447. And I'll give you guys a chance to go out. For you guys that are in the chat room there, just take a second. Yeah, and go out to the 4 o'clock on the Temple of Gaia. Scroll down to 447. Because we're working, apparently, with the 4 o'clock hours here, because empty is in the 441, and the between card is 447. And it shows somebody who's holding a bag of money and sort of dancing as they cross a great cavern that has like a plank of wood going across it, apparently left by somebody else who had done the same thing. knowing that there would be people who would be following them. So, with the empty card, working with the between card, and for tonight's purposes, working with all this, is that all the cards will be facing us. So the facing us message for the between card, 447, is the way to a better place. And the primary description is, help yourself first, then share the update. So go there, be there, get all the information, see that it's helpful, and then let the world know how it can be used of value by others. But you're making the first crossing. And that's the between card. The person is sort of happy because of how they have one foot up in the air, and they're sort of dancing, and they got the money that they made up in the air, or the money they're taking with them as they transition from one world to the next, crossing this chasm. And the board is a little short. And if they get a little too crazy and bounce a little too up and down and too a little high, that the board could end up missing its edge and falling into the chasm and taking our friend with their bag of money with them to never to be seen again. That's why I designed the little crossway board piece that crosses the chasm to look like it could potentially fall short of the necessary, you know, breadth, or how it crosses and provides a safe transit from point A to point B across this chasm. It could and would, if disrespected, not be of benefit to the person who is attempting to get to the other side. So with the between card working with the empty card, so the between card follows the empty card. So when you're looking at the two-card companion group, the empty card is on the left-hand side and the between card is on the right-hand side. It's showing that by being done with something that is a monetary source for you, and sort of just tossing it out, and transitioning from the land of where you are now, with where you threw the last of that bit out, to the new place, that you will find yourself being successful. Now, this is a great example for describing someone who's working for a corporation, an agency, or a company that is not doing very well. And that they start nitpicking their employees and how they do the work that they do. Like, you're not wearing your tie tight enough. Your dress is too low. Your dress is too high. Why are you wearing those shoes? Why isn't your report shorter or longer? What is your client status? Have you gotten any new orders? Why aren't you busy? What's wrong with you? Being scrutinized in a fashion that is not normal to the environment that you're accustomed to in this place of employment that you have been at is a sure sign that something is spent. You can hang in there to the last until they decide to fire you, or if you exercise the empty card message, which just shows that here's someone who sees that there's a little life left in the place that they're working in, but they know that there's only like a drop of happiness, and it's not really a sustaining happiness left in this vessel that used to be a great place of employment. So when you draw the empty card and the between card, and you're asking about the place that you work, it's saying that you're done. It's saying that there's a little life left and that there might be a great picnic, company picnic coming up, but instead of it being barbecue chicken, it might be cheese and crackers. But still, everybody is getting together and talking about hopeful things, but it's not the swank experience that it used to be. Now you're looking, using your intuition, trying to look forward into the future, and that you don't see an escape route to get away from this thing that you know that has diminishing returns. But you come in the next day and hope for a glimmer of an escape route. You spend the whole day there, no escape route, and you come in the next day. No glimmer, no escape route, and now it's Wednesday. And then it's Thursday. And then it's Friday. Well, thank God it's Friday. So you don't have to worry about expecting any kind of glimmers for escape from the place that you know that has diminishing returns, the company is failing, the expectations of the management is one that's not logical, and that they're just nitpicking because they're not happy with, you know, there's not enough clients that are producing enough, like, service requests or product requests that help sustain the company and keep it productive and fluid and solvent. But you have Saturday. You have the bliss of that day. You're separated from that place that is dying, if only for 24 hours. And then Sunday hits, and you wake up, and you think about necessary chores that have to keep the place that you live in order. Is it painting a spare bedroom? Is it, you know, changing all the linen on all the beds or whatever so we have fresh sheets and everything for sleeping the following week? Does the laundry need to be done? Does the yard need to be mowed? What are all the preparatory things that need to be had and done to keep the place that we live, the place that is our sanctuary, safe? The sanctuary that is kept safe by the income that we realize by that place that we go to and we spend 40 hours over a 5-day period doing the things that we do for the company that we know is dying. Long pause. We dismiss the worries about the 9-to-5 for the 5 days coming up, and that we get busy with the laundry or the lawn work, the gardening work, for the place that is our sanctuary, and we move on. We suspend our anxiety and float in a suspended world of bliss, enjoying this place that is maintained by the income that we realize during that week of employment. But as we fluctuate back and forth between the place of where we live and where we work, we worry that the place that we realize our income from is dwindling. With the between card being the following message to the empty card, it's saying that we have to start being active now to bring about change. And that means going and grabbing the paper and finding a new place to work. Even though the economy sucks and that there's no jobs that are out there, we got to find another way to assure ourselves that everything is going to be okay. Now, the mission statement for Main Street Universe is that how are we living life beyond the corporate cube? Living life on Main Street. We are vendors, sole proprietors. You were in that corporation, that corporate cube, that entity that served you so well and you served it so well. You gained a great deal of skills and abilities and experience and knowledge, and then you have been set adrift. The symbol of the person holding the bag of money with the between card can be a symbol of someone who's been given a severance allotment as a part of being dismissed from the place that they work. And then it's all party until the money runs out. And the thing is that institution did all the work to collect the money that pays you to be there in your 9-to-5, 5 days a week. Or if it's 7 days a week, really. But now, you're in a place, potentially, to where you have to pay yourself for that 9-to-5. Because on the other side of that chasm, in this between image, is the place where you reside. You are the boss, and then what you say goes. All right, moving on to the next card that's up is the Soulmates card. And that card is associated with the time 259. And it shows two people who are sort of like playing catch with three stars. There's a big star in the middle, and then each has their own little mini star kind of thing. The primary star represents their union, and then the two individual stars that are associated with the two individuals represent how they empower the energy that goes into the primary union star. They energize it. And that, like an incense stick or a candle, it can eventually burn out. It's up to them as to how frequently they use the incense stick or the candle. Does it have to stay constantly lit, or only on occasion when necessary? With this card working with the empty card, it is talking about how the soulmate experience is being scrutinized. Sort of like super evaluated. The first card that we're working with is the empty card. And that sort of sets the stage and the mood of the message. And then the follow-up to the message is the soulmates card. So the empty card is sort of like a precursor. And what I mean by that is that the precursor is something to where we were in a place to where we're just so done with anything that's relationship-wise. Working with people either intimately or colleagues or coworkers, where you trusted a coworker to tell them about this idea that you came up with. They went to their management and told the management, and then the management gave them credit for the idea instead of you getting the idea. Or it could be one to where the empty card is talking about you in an intimate relationship with a partner that just left you feeling so drained that you did not want to wait around for a hopeful, let's say, resurrection or additional qualities that could be newly realized as a part of the experience in that intimate relationship. With the empty card, it says that you know there's no hope left in that intimate relationship, so you're throwing out the rest of your hopes, knowing that they are really hollow. Now, once you throw out that last bit of hope that you had about any kind of quality experience in an intimate relationship, letting that go, tossing it out, you sort of set the universe to sort of reprogram intimate possibilities. You dismissed, by throwing out the last bit in the empty card, any of your expectations for any kind of hopefulness that is associated with intimacy. And because we're working with soulmates, the empty card takes on sort of like the guise of something that's related to relationships. So in your last relationship, it was so hopeful. You were sure that it was going to work and that it would be the be-all, end-all. But then something collapses, something breaks, and then you have to ask your friends to help you move out of that relationship, where it might be that they, you know, you live up 3 or 4 flights of stairs and that they have to help you carry all the things that belong to you as you separate yourself from that relationship and you load up in the truck that will take you to your new destiny, whether it's California or Ohio. But what it does is that by being done with it and heart and soul being done with it, following what the empty card is trying to convey, that you give the universe permission to paint a new picture of what the new soulmate that will best help you for the time, the season, or a reason to come into your life at the right time, not the right after the experience, because then it would just be a rebound experience and that you would just end up draining that next relationship for every last ounce of energy that it has, and that it would end up crashing and burning, and that you would end up being in like a year of solitude or something. So by tossing out the last bits of hope about that relationship that you were sure was the be-all, end-all, you sort of clear the slate, clear the table, clear the atmosphere, and allow a new potential to come in that is designed by the universe and not by your own hopes. So drawing the next image here that's coming up is the 9-11 card. And the title for that is Out, O-U-T. So 9-11, I'll give you guys a chance to just go out there and look at the 9-11 image. And what's funny, and that I'm drawing these cards randomly according to the methodology that's associated with the Horizon Oracle, that you draw things at random so that you can work with your in-spirit companion, also known as your spirit guide, guardian angel, fairy godmother, Allah, God, Jesus, Buddha, whatever. I decided to go with the in-spirit companion. That's the person that's sort of like on the other side of the wall of the universe, working with you to realize the things that you want to see happen. They also have an agenda that's sort of associated with the work that you're doing here, too. Your in-spirit companion has now presented you with the 9-11 card, 9-1-1, and the title for that card is Out. And it shows someone who's sort of being tossed out of a trash chute, a garbage chute, or a laundry chute, and being tossed out on their butt, their ass. They're done, no more with this. So this can really be in parallel with the empty card, because looking at the chute right there where the person has been tossed out is similar to us tossing out the last drop that was in that container that's in the empty card. And the primary title for this card for 9-11 is You Are Not In That Anymore. Tossed out. And the description for the facing us card for the 9-11 card is this is over, stand and get moving. So it's done, it's over with, there's no going back, there's no crawling back up the chute, there's no going in the front door, you're done, totally done, and it's time to do something new. There's no returning to the past. No more happy hours, no more working lunches with that group that you are familiar with. It's time to take on a whole new world with this. So with the Out card, it's pretty much explanatory, seeing the person thrown out of the situation that they were in. They're done, it's over with, it's time to do something new. So if it's a relationship that you're asking a question about, and that the person hasn't called you, then with the 9-11 card, it's basically saying, you're done. Get up and go and look for something new to do. It's not going to recover. It's not going to get better. That relationship is not going to get better, because the things that you were supposed to experience through that process, you have experienced. And with the soulmate's message, everything lasts for a time, a season, or a reason. And that is associated with, you know, that can be connected with working with corporations, groups, individuals, even a favorite truck, automobile, power tool, appliance, paintbrush, you name it. Once it's done and you feel like you're not connected to it anymore, be okay with that and move on to the next thing to do. So Out is out. With the empty card, you had an idea that something was about to end and that you could toss out the last of it. And before the drop could hit the ground, you end up hitting the ground instead. So that's what that is talking about. The 9-11, out, you're done. Now, looking at the next card, 307, and the title for this card is Discoveries. It talks about you discovering something that you never really knew existed before. And again, discoveries associated with the time. 307, I'll give you a chance to get to that. It sort of shows somebody who is looking at a gear that they discovered, on the ground and that they know that they can do something with this. And the primary title for the discovery card is Discovering Something That Appears As If It Would Be Helpful. So the person doesn't know what the gear is connected to, but they do definitely see that it was fashioned to be helpful in some way. And the secondary description for the card facing us is discovering something helpful. So, with the empty card working with the discovery card, it's saying when you toss something out and get rid of it and sort of like clear your space, you discover something new that you can add and fill with that space. And it sort of just lets you know that, you know, the sky doesn't always have to be dark and cloudy, and because if you look at the symbol, it sort of shows a cloud over the person as they're looking at the gear. They are looking, working in this situation with this gear in sort of like a shrouded, clouded, shadowy kind of situation. The entire, you know, sky isn't filled with clouds. It's just that situation. And what's happening is, as they discover that there is like this new thing that they can explore and take their experience in life a little further, the clouds are starting to dissipate. And I think what I'd like to do is to add or bring on Diane Arkenstone, one of her songs that we have here in our Main Street Universe archive, is Under the Blue Sky, and she talks about, you know, everything's great and that it's up to you as to whether it's a good day or a bad day. And I think we're going to help set the mood here a little bit and play Under the Blue Sky by Diane Arkenstone, and that you can find out more about her by going to www.dianearkenstone.com, or you can find this song out on YouTube and other places as well. But again, the name of the song here is Under the Blue Sky by Diane Arkenstone. Thank you. yes, that was Under the Blue Sky by Diane Arkenstone. And again, when we dismiss something, toss something out, throw it away, clean the counter off, clean the table off, clean the floor, clean the bedroom, stuff eventually finds its way back into that space. It's just natural. But I see that our producer, Daniel Michael, is in the queue, and I'm going to bring him on. Hello, Daniel. How are you? And welcome to the show.
Hey, Kevin. How are you doing?
Good, good. Thanks for calling.
I'm actually outside watering the plants I just finished. But in fact, I'm turning the hose off now. But I think it was interesting that you mentioned the empty card, as well as there was another card you pulled that I pulled for myself the other day. And but first we'll start on the empty card. Then I open the door and go back in the house. It reminds me a little bit of Darren's show this Sunday. We discussed the phoenix, which is something dies and then is reborn from the ashes. So it makes me think of, oh, you know, empty, like, okay, it's time to move on to something else. It's time to be reborn into something else. And what you're doing now, no matter how much you are attached to it, no matter how important it seemed, it's done. It's time to move on. In numerology, it would be like the number 10 about to turn into number 1 again, I guess, one could say. And again, the image of the phoenix dying and being reborn out of the ashes. So the empty doesn't mean that it's bad news. It just means that something else needs to be and will be reborn.
Yeah, shedding of something, you know, like the snake sheds its skin, or, you know, a cicada, or some kind of animal that has like an exoskeleton that's shedded, you know, like cicadas do that.
Yeah.
I forget what else does that also. I think like snails outgrow their shells also, and that they have to do something. That's all that comes to mind right now.
Yeah, and the 9/11 card that you mentioned earlier, the out card, I had that one.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very fitting to what I was just quickly asking about. What I actually did is I was in Sticks and Stones, and occasionally where I'm in there, just to test myself with the Horizon Oracle, they have a couple Horizon Oracles still there for sale on the shelf.
That's all?
And yeah, they do, and they have your book there, the companion book there. And they have a few Horizon Oracle decks there still. And as well as your Men and Angel book is still there. And I was just opening it up for the particular question, and I remember the out card came up, the 9/11 card. And I guess it
and
could
be
compared
thinking about,
to...
What were you thinking about when the 9/11 came up?
I was thinking about the type of work that I'm doing, meaning the type of work that I don't want to do. So it seemed to
yeah.
be perfect. I was thinking, okay, what's the next step for me to go into what I want to do? And basically it was like, okay, not the next step, but it was kind of a general thing I was asking when I picked it up about what needs to happen for me to move on. And basically I just have to get rid of the baggage of the past of thinking that all money has to come from, you know, being someone's laborer or digging trenches or running wire and all that, and being a construction worker, which I've been for years. And it's time to get out of that and go to my artistic things. That's how I viewed it.
Yeah. So it's like you're done, basically. And the thing is with the 9/11 card, where it shows someone being tossed out, it's that universe decided that they can no longer use you.
Right.
If you think of the scene in The Matrix where Neo is in that pod and that Morpheus does something to disrupt that carrier wave that has him connected to The Matrix, and he wakes up, and then one of the maintenance drones discovers that he isn't connected to the carrier wave. They do something to disconnect him from the Matrix, and then they toss him into basically a nutrient bath that could potentially end up disintegrating him and turning him into food that ends up feeding the rest of that Matrix.
Right.
So the out card is sort of similar to that as well. I don't think that I designed that image around the Neo symbology, but it sort of fits with that
right.
too, being tossed out of the Matrix. Yeah.
The person that wrote The Matrix definitely understood lucid dreams and flying dreams and understanding that when you dream, you can establish dream control. And that's what The Matrix, in part, on a personal level, for the characters is all about. You can do this. You just have to tell your mind you can do it, just like in all magic or metaphysics. You're not doing it because you don't believe you can. You see that big thing you have to jump over, and you don't think you can jump over it. A little bit like in Star Wars and Yoda.
Yeah. And speaking of that, I have to plug Erwin Schrödinger. And he's the guy that came up with the Schrödinger's cat, that if you look at the cat, it's going to end up dying, and if you don't look at it, it doesn't die. It has to do with string theory and everything. It's Google is talking about him right now. So, yeah, it's metaphysics, and where you place your attention grows.
Yes.
And when you use that power of the mind, you take control of the Matrix instead of the Matrix having control over you.
And just wandering around, surviving in the Matrix. Existing in the Matrix.
It's been my discovery that we are born, we come here with a plan to be an experience for other people on the planet. And that's where our natal chart comes from. If you guys who are listening in archive or out there in the chat room or, you know, listening live right now, that if you go and Google natal chart, you will see definitions that talk about where the planets are at the time that you were born. And at the place and time that you were born, specific abilities were being assigned to the people who were being born at that time based on the astrological positions of the planets in the universe. So,
and I would like...
When you,
oh, sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying that after... It just hit my memory, so forgive me for interrupting. But after I drew the out card, the 9/11... The card after that was networking. So it was like, get out, but keep networking. And then after that was the tracks card. So it was a little bit blue collar. It was almost like saying, getting out of the thing you don't want, but you must lay down the groundwork. The tracks card is all about, I see that as a very hardworking card, not a lofty or fluffy card, you know. You got to lay down those tracks and get to work. And you have to network, and work, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was out, and then network, and then track. So that really fit what my thoughts were, I think. The getting out of the drudgery, mundane job, and into what I'm building as my new businesses, being artistic, being voiceover, being music, radio, everything else, readings, everything. And stepping away from the labor world and being someone's employee and being my own job.
Yep. So if you're a cellar dweller, somebody who lives in a basement, you know, you got your remote right there, you got the little mini fridge, you got your big screen TV, and then you got like the snacks that are right there. if you're expecting the world to come to you in that place where you are, no, that's sort of like a hermetically sealed environment that nothing can penetrate. So if you're listening to us talking right now, and that you're in a basement somewhere, safe away from the world is not going to find you and come to you and give you the opportunities that you're looking for. You have to get up out of that chair, get out there, and do something. And that's where the out card talks about it. It's like getting out of that chair, out of that recliner.
And that was part of how I read it, too. Not just about an exit, but it was saying out and then network and then lay the tracks, which is like perfect for the kind of thing, and you know me, so you know that for me that's like a perfect reading for that kind of question.
Absolutely.
It's out. Get out. get out of what you're doing. Just get out. Get out in the world. That world doesn't accept me anymore, and I know it. My old world doesn't accept me. I'll be laid off in a couple of months probably anyway. So while this time is here, I have to start making the contacts and laying down the tracks of my new life. And if I don't, I may truly blow it this time, even though there'll be other chances. That's how life works in cycles and in progressions. But I view this as an extremely important time for me, you know, for my own
self. I agree.
It's a really important time for a call to action. And that reading, I think, said it beautifully.
Well, with the leading economic indicators that the news and officials who are in charge of our financial institutions, they say that unemployment is down. And it's basically down because nobody cares to come into the unemployment office to say that they are unemployed. They're done saying that they're unemployed. They just have given
some
up.
Some of that is based on people collecting the benefit of unemployment.
Yeah, there you go.
Some of it is based on job growth, you know, statistics and other things. But a lot of it's based on what you mentioned.
So those people are now out in the world trying to make a buck on their own. They've taken their skills and their abilities, taken it to Main Street, and trying to find a way to how they can make a buck doing it. So if you're listening to the show and you're waiting for the world to come to you, it is not going to do that.
Or for someone to save you.
Yes, exactly.
I know that's something that you just want, you know. Go ahead.
You have to get up off your ass, get out, go up the stairs, go out the door. Go to the mall, even. You don't have to go and look for a job. Just go to the mall and say something nice to some stranger or something. That's the beginning of it.
Just start the out process, the network process.
Exactly.
Because so many people, it's so easy to fall into that trap of saying, oh, somebody, isn't there someone that has a secure thing? Can someone come save me? I've known so many people like this. And then you'll talk about your efforts, and they'll go, oh, well, can you save? Now, of course, I always want to help. If I can help, I will, you know. But I'm just saving myself at this point, you know. But
yeah,
it's just a matter of someone will come to help, but they don't know where to show up. Or the universe doesn't know where to send luck, as they say, unless you make yourself known and get out and network and lay down the tracks, as was the reading that I had.
So I invite you guys who are listening to consider getting your own copy of the Horizon Oracle deck. And just a deck of 111 cards, and that you can go and get it. Order it off of my website, templeofgaia.com, and it's only like $20. And that you can use it to get answers or ideas for solutions of the things that you are worried about in your life to get things moving. If you're looking for someone to come into your life, the Horizon Oracle is a great way. What do you think, Daniel? You have a copy. What do you think?
I agree.
I've had many great and successful readings with it. And
I consider myself the primary student of the Horizon Oracle because I'm still learning things as well.
And I am the secondary student. And
yeah.
Sometimes my definitions of the cards are a little different than yours, but that's okay because it also has to be about the reader as well, or the person.
Thanks for listening, everybody.